What have I to dread? What have I to fear? I've got one thing that I would dread and fear, that I would be passed over by God because I didn't care. That He would say, no, you have no desire in your heart to be a follower of Me. You've not chosen to be a disciple. It's not that you're, you know, I know it's not my sin because Christ dealt with that. It's that lukewarmness. That's the only thing that I would fear, is that He would say, no, you've been found in the balance and found lacking. It's not Christ that lacks. It's you, because you just really didn't care. You just really did not care. I was going to really try to do some doctrinal teaching tonight. We believe in God, who exists in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is loving, holy, and just. I wanted to go after this kind of stuff. I wanted to explain things like, we believe that Jesus Christ is both God and man, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He led a sinless life, took all of our sins upon Himself, died and rose again, and today He's seated at the right hand of the Father on high as our High Priest and Mediator. I want to talk about all that kind of stuff. I want to talk about, we believe that the Holy Communion is a celebration of Jesus' death and our remembrance of Him. I like that, because this week I'm just going to share with you guys, because I know we've already been long. This week I was bummed out, actually. I'm just, oh God, you know. And it's the frustration of it all, because I know we have a great and wonderful God, and I've seen Him do great and wonderful things in my lives, in the lives of my friends, and the lives of the churches that He's changed and touched, and I know it's there, and I know the potential's there, and I'm going, come on, come on, come on, let's go again, you know. We was riding a roller coaster one time, me and my family. And we come in, big long roller coaster, and we got to the end of it. And as we was coming into the barn where it was supposed to stop, we all started yelling, one more time! One more time! And the person looked at us and said, fine! Shot us off again. We went all over that roller coaster again. People were in line waiting, and they're going, and we shot through there, and we come back in, and we started yelling louder, everybody on the roller coaster, one more time! One more! And the guy goes, yeah! Shoots us through again. The people were waiting. And that's the group that I wouldn't want to be in. And we come in, and we're yelling, and they're yeah! And they let us go again. It was three times in a row. And people were lined up. When we come in the fourth time, those people started yelling, we want a ride! We want a ride! You know, folks, that's the way the church is. I have seen God do so much, and I have been touched, and people would think I was crazy when I start telling things that I've seen God do. It's just unbelievable. One more time. I was telling Mike, he was talking about revival. I said, Mike, I want to see it again, but I'm 60 years old. Come on, God, you know. It's got to be quick! You know, or I'm going to be in the nursing home wheeling down. One more time! Come on, God! One more time! It's the most fantastic thing whenever the presence of God is in your life and the lives of the church, and you see people and their lives transformed. And this week, this week God showed me something about the communion. And this morning, by the way, those things don't wash off too good that we drew on our hands with the children's church. I've still got a rainbow where I helped. I bet those kids' parents love me for drawing on their hands. But that was the sign of the promise of the covenant of God that He made. And it was a grace covenant. Not that Noah was required to do anything, but rather It was a grace covenant, and he said, I will put my rainbow in the sky, and when I see that, I will remember I'm not ever going to drown every living creature off the face of this earth. You've got my word that I will take care of you, Noah. You've got my word. I'm not going to ever do that kind of a thing again with water. The creation, the animals, everything, you're safe from a flood. And when you see it, know that I keep my word. Noah doesn't have to do a thing. It's a promise of God. There are, what we've studied over the past few weeks, there's the law covenants, where if you do this, I'll do this, and if you don't do it perfectly, I'll smack you down. Thank God we're under the New Testament, and the New Testament is a grace covenant, a grace contract, where He says, I will do these things for you. Why? Because you can't do them. Just like that rainbow is to remind us of God's word and His promise, and that He will keep it. He will keep it. Every time we see that communion set, every time that we take communion, the Lord's Supper, we're to say to ourselves, it is a grace contract. He's made promises to us that are great. He's made promises to us that are truly wondrous. All I've got to say is thank you. I'm trusting and I'm relaxed and I'm at peace. Of all the things that Christ could have left us, riches, glory, fame, He left us His peace. Because peace is the essence from which faith is just grounded in. Well, I believe it, therefore I'm at peace with it. And we have this peace. He says, I leave my peace with you. He was never rancorous with God. He never had a fallout with God. He was never in God's face. That is one of the things of Nimrod. When you read in the Old Testament, it says he was a mighty warrior before God. What it really says in the Greek, or in the Hebrew, if you really get into it, it says that Nimrod was in God's face. Nimrod was in God's face. And I don't know about you, I don't like anybody being in my face. I don't like attitude. I don't like people coming up and going, yeah. I don't like it when people look at me and say, speak to the hand. And I don't care if man, woman, or child, I just want to... We are under the covenant of grace. And there are certain great and wondrous promises that are made to us. Don't come to God with attitude other than, thank you so much, because this was all accomplished by Jesus Christ. And He has given me this wonderful gift, great and precious promises that lets us partake of the divine nature of God. We have been given something that's totally divine, eternal life. Relationship to God, which is a relationship that only Jesus Christ had with the Father. And now He has given that divine relationship to us. He has made us children of God. And every time we see that communion, we're to relax and say, these are promises that are made to us by our God. And all I have to do is say, I trust You to fulfill Your word. I trust You to fulfill Your word. I did a wedding. I know people just don't believe it. Not that I do weddings, but I find weddings depressing. I do. I don't know why. They just really bum me out. But there's this portion of Scripture where we all read it at weddings, or most weddings, that's traditional. We say, let me find it so I'll get this right, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8. And we get the future husband and wife, in about 5 minutes they're going to be husband and wife. And we say, and this is love. Let me tell you what love is. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemingly. seeketh not her own, and is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And then we say, and you, with this kind of love that you have in your heart, with the giving and the receiving of rings and the vows before us and before God, I now pronounce you man and wife. By the way, when it says hopeth all things, hope is a positive assurance of a guaranteed thing that you know is going to happen, but it hasn't happened yet. So when it hopes all things, love is always saying, I know good things are coming. I know it, and I believe it, and I'm trusting these good things. So when you hear that word, hopes all things, it's not, ooh, I hope. It's, I have a calm assurance that good things are coming. We read these scriptures, and we say, this is the kind of love you're supposed to have. I'm sitting there going, ain't no way, ain't no way. I can't wait till you guys have your first major fight. Yeah, blah, 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 you know, and I'm just going, this is unreal. But let me read this verse to you, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrated His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son. 1 John 4:10 says, here is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's love right there, folks. We were rotters, we were the bottom of the barrel, we were scum buckets. You just fill in all those negative little adjectives that you can think of, and you just run it right down there. And while we was at our lowest, and while those other people are at their lowest and still at their lowest, yet He loved them. I flipped too fast. Yet He loved them. We get all worried sometimes, does God really love me? Because the devil and the world and our conscience is saying, no, He can't love you. Look what you did. But this is the kind of love He has. He suffereth long. When you do something wrong, He doesn't just kick you to the curb. He suffereth long. What do you mean long? Well, He said, Noah, build me an ark. For 120 years, Noah built that ark and preached that the judgment of God was coming to the people. That's long-suffering. They had already miffed God off enough that He was going to destroy it, and yet He took another 120 years to get those people a chance to repent and turn away from what they were doing. That's long-suffering. That's our God. So don't think that He's going to kick you to the curb every time you do something wrong. He is long-suffering to you, and He is kind. Luke chapter 6, verse 35. This is a proof text. God, Jesus is God. Jesus is like God. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest. This is Jesus talking. He's talking about God. For He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. And you come over here and Paul's talking, and he bluntly says, love is kind. God doesn't set you up so that He can lay the smack down on you. He doesn't try to trip you up and play gotcha. Our God doesn't do that. Some people think He does. But if they believe that, they've got the wrong understanding, because our God is not that way. And Jesus said He's not that way. Jesus said, you know, He's kind and He's long-suffering, and He is even good to the people who are unthankful. learn from our God and try to emulate Him as much as possible. No, I know we're not going to be perfect. Love does not envy. Love does not vaunt itself. Love is not puffed up. Does not act become unbecomingly. It's not easily provoked. God doesn't get mad really, really quick. God promised Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to give you all this land that you've walked around to you and your seed. But not yet. I'm going to let you go down to Egypt because the people that live here have about 400 years. And then I'm finally going to say, enough is enough. And your kids will be the mop-up crew and take care of this problem up here that's brewing. But I'm giving them 400 years to repent. God is not easily provoked and He doesn't think evil. He does not rejoice in iniquity, but He rejoices in truth. Jesus is truth. He bears all things. He believes all things. He hopes all things. And He endures all things. And love never fails, folks. This is the love that God has for you. It's not really the love of husband for wife. That is idealistic, and I wish it was that way, but gosh, that's the love that God has for me. He's not easily provoked. He's not quick to anger. God's been good to us, folks. God has been really, really good to us. And it's like God sets this stuff all up and lines it up. I've been thinking about this kind of stuff, you know, the covenant meal. And it's like, relax, Doyle. I have made you promises that I promise that I will keep you and give to you certain things that are great and wondrous. But you've got to quit fighting them, and you've got to quit fighting for them, and you've got to quit trying to earn them, and you've got to quit trying to do the stuff so you can say, ooh, look at me, look at me, I did it. God's answered my prayer because I'm a great prayer warrior. And there's a lot of people out there who say, you've got to be a great prayer warrior for God. He hears our moanings and groanings. You don't even have to say it in English. Just, oh God, I'm so frustrated. He understands. So you don't have to be eloquent. It's not that that He's going for. It's this heart thing that He's going for. Within the past year, I said, God, I wish that I had something that I could go to very quickly and pick it up and find a promise from You. Just flip it open so I could pray that promise. Today, Tammy walked in and she gave everybody these little booklets that wanted one of them. God's Promises for Your Every Need. It's by Thomas Nielsen. And I looked at him and I'm going, this is exactly what I was wanting. This is perfect. Now, before I start launching off onto this, let me read to you what it says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua chapter 1. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Now, okay, Doyle, you've been saying, that's the law. We're under grace. We're under a law too. It's known as the law of love. It's the law of faith. It's the law of trusting. What shall we do to do the work of God? This is our work. Trust in Him whom He sent. We are to trust in Jesus Christ. Therefore, what we are supposed to be doing is to meditate day and night upon the wonders and glories of Jesus Christ and the promises that He has made through the new covenant to His church. And the word meditate, you can look this one up, the word meditate in this context, in in this Hebrew word is the word to murmur, to mutter it over and over again. He's saying, you take the laws, and so our laws is the laws of love, the new covenant stuff that we're under. You're to meditate. We should meditate upon the things of the New Testament. We should mutter them therein day and night that we may observe, you know, I shall trust in the Lord. He will not kick me to the curb. That He has this kind of love for me, and go through the God's love is kind and not easily provoked. And we go through these things. So whenever say we do something, and, oh, God's probably mad at us. Look this up and start quoting those scriptures about the love of God and what He's like. And while we were sinners, He loved us enough to send us Jesus. So even now, if I make a mistake and I'm a sinner and I'm doing something again that's not quite right, why would He turn His back on me when He knew what He was getting whenever He first called me and said, Doyle, you're a sinner over here. Suddenly, am I supposed to be perfect? I'll get perfect one of these days when I get into His presence. And I look at Him and I'll be transformed and I'll become like He is, and I will have a new body, and old things shall pass away, and behold, all things will become new. Quite literally. And we'll live in the new heavens and the new earth at that point, yeah. But right now, God, I'm still not perfect. And He's not stupid. He knows that. And so when we mess up, He doesn't turn His back on us. But we're to meditate on the things of the New Testament, which is so much better than the things of the Old Testament. We're to murmur, we're to mutter these things constantly, over and over. And if we mutter them over, it's written therein, what's written therein, what will happen? Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. You want to be prosperous? Meditate. Mutter the words of Jesus Christ. Mutter the words of the New Testament to yourself day and night. Then thou shalt have good success. Not just prosperity this way, but good success in all that you do. Mutter the words of the New Testament. Example. Daniel did this in, I believe, Daniel chapter 9. I don't have it written down. I think it's in Daniel chapter 9, verse 2. Daniel is, he's locked away. I don't want to say locked away. He's been taken captivity. He's living down there in Babylon. It says in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, he's talking about Darius, who became the emperor of the Babylonian Empire, and now it's the Medes and the Persians Empire. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Okay, we've talked about this before. Remember that? But what did he do? He read the Word of God and he said, here is a promise in the prophet Jeremiah that in 70 years God will say enough and let His kids go back. Then Daniel starts praying. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Remember, he's under law too. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and them that keep His commandments. And it goes on and he confesses all of his sins, because remember, he's under the law. So he goes through all this, but God keeps His covenant and mercy to them that love Him. Jesus loved us. We're not perfect enough, so we don't have to worry about our love being perfect. We have the love of God to reflect back. But he, what he was doing was this. He found a promise in God's Word, the book of Jeremiah, and he started praying, God, it says in your Word that after 70 years, you will forgive your children, and you will take the Jews back to Judea, and you'll let them move back to Jerusalem, and they will start rebuilding that city. God, this is the covenant that you have made. And he's praying it. He's muttering it day and night. God, here is your word. And you say this. He wasn't in God's face. He was saying, this is your word, God. And I believe it. And I trust it. And you're a covenant-keeping God. And you have mercy to them that love you. We love you. have mercy to us and keep your covenants. Keep your covenants. That's where I'm going tonight with this sermon, is this. Pray the words of God. Find things that are applicable. Ha, that's a big word, isn't it? Applicable. Southern Illinois, we say applicable, but it's applicable. And listen to what, and here's the reason why we mutter them, not just turn them over in our mind, but say them out loud. Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Okay. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength. He's just saying, angels, you bless God and you say how great He is, and we know you're strong. You do His commandments. Now, there's angels that don't do His commandments, but the angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Hearkening unto the voice of His word. NIV says, who obey His word. New American Standard says, who perform His word, obeying the voice of His word. Okay. Let's put it this way. When the angels hear the word of God being quoted properly and in trust, in faith, in peace, saying with Daniel, there is a covenant, and I know that you're a covenant-keeping God, and you said that you would restore the children of Israel back to Jerusalem. I'm trusting you to do that. As you go down through this, chapter 10, down in there you're going to have this angel after 20-some days popping up and talking to Daniel and saying, Daniel, your prayer was heard on the first day, and I had to fight against this, what we will know as a angel of darkness that does not obey the commandments or the words of God. But you were saying the words of God. You promised as a covenant-keeping God that your children would be restored in 70 years. And I'm trusting you to do that. The angel said, I heard the word of the Lord. And when I hear the word, the voice of the word of God being spoken, I am quick to obey it. I have been fighting with this prince of darkness now 20-some days to get down here and explain to you what your vision was, what's going on, and to tell you what's going to happen. And when this is all over with, Daniel, I've got to fight my way back. In other words, this wasn't a pleasant experience for me, Daniel. But I heard the word of the Lord being voiced. And I'm quick to obey it. Satan is not quick to obey it. Okay. People, we are to mutter the words of the Lord of the New Covenant day and night. So whenever we're standing there, just like Daniel, or praying, or laying, or sleeping, or sitting, or whatever position our body is in, when we're saying the words of the Lord and saying, God is a covenant-keeping God, and He has promised to me in the Scripture certain wonderful promises, and He doesn't lie, and like Daniel, I'm quoting these words because I know God is speaking truth. When the angels hear it, they start responding. And we keep saying these words continually, like a prayer, like a statement of fact, a statement of trust. That's why I was happy when I saw these things. Now I don't have to scratch around. I can pick this book up. There's an index in the front that gives you ideas where to go and look for stuff. Sufficiency. And God is to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in good works. Do you lack anything in your life? Anything? Then start quoting this. God is able to make all grace, all favor abound toward you. God, you're a covenant-keeping God, and you can cause your grace and favor not just to eke out, but to abound toward me. And always having all sufficiency in all things. God, it's not just one particular area, but in every area of my life, you are sufficient and you're going to abound that toward me. My God, but my God shall supply all, A-L-L, your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Say those words, mutter them day and night. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Say these things, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think any things of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Say these things over. If you find something that applies to you or God specifically gives to you, jump right on it. Do you have some kind of a fear? For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Say it. Say it. God hath not given us a spirit of fear. If there's something that's scaring you to death, it's not from God. Say, this is not from God. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And you say this over and over until it becomes a reality in your life and angels are jumping up to do it. Do you need courage? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Do it. Just say, God, here I am waiting on you. Wait on the Lord. I'm waiting, and you shall strengthen my heart. I'm just sitting here waiting for you. I'm waiting for you, God. You're going to strengthen my heart. I'm waiting for you. I need the courage. I'm waiting for you, God. I'm waiting for God to give me strength in my heart, day and night, muttering these things over until they become a reality. Are you sick, beloved? I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper in health, even as thy soul prospers. Is your soul being fed, and are you growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? If your soul is prospering, then you can say this one, God, I want my prosperity and my health to be a reflection of what's going on in my life. You better go to a church that teaches the grace of God, Jesus Christ, and the new covenant and all that good stuff, and walking in His love, letting Him love us. I don't know, I could just go on and on and on and flip this thing open to different things. What I'm saying once again is this. We are under the new contract, the new covenant. We should say the promises because it's His promises for Him to keep toward us, because while we were yet sinners, He gave His Son to us, and that Son come down making great promises toward us, and we should be saying, I trust in You to do these things for me because You said so. You're a covenant-keeping God. You do not lie. I trust in You. And we say the verses that we find over and over and over. And even you say, I just really can't accept it. Keep saying those words over and over and reflecting on them, saying, that's what it says. God does not lie. God keeps His covenant. God's telling the truth. Say it again out loud so that the angels will hear, and you will start getting responses to your prayers. You're praying the Word of God. Things will start happening. It'll be a wonderful time in your life, in the life of this church. And then you'll be just like me. One more time, God! One more time! Oh yeah! I'll tell you what. It's 4 a.m, God. I am so tired. I'm going to go home and sleep. But when I wake up, I'm heading right back. One more time around. Oh yeah! That's our prayer for this church. Is we'll see the glory and the presence of God at least one more time. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, You're a covenant-keeping God, and You said that You'd give us the desires of our heart. Father, we desire things for this church. We desire Your presence. Jesus Christ said, where two or three are gathered in My name, there shall I be in the midst. God, we want Jesus here in the midst. We know that when Jesus is in the midst of a crowd, that there are things that happen. People are healed. People are changed. Sins are forgiven. Food is multiplied. Needs are met. Taxes are paid. We want Jesus in our midst. It's what Your Word says. Jesus, we want your presence in our midst. We want revival. We don't want to be a last day church. We want to be the church of Jesus Christ, triumphant, without spot or wrinkle, because He made us this way. He perfected us, matured us, so we can stand there and say, it's not us, it's the glory of Jesus Christ. It's His work within us that's accomplished this. We want to see Jesus Christ glorified through ourselves individually, collectively as a church, and so that the influence will go out, just like He says, to all the world, that Sisney will be a source of discipleship through all the world, because He asks us to do it. He doesn't ask us to do things that He doesn't equip us to do. All glory and honor to your Son. Use us. Glorify yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.